The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
As we start this evening, let me start with some good news for you. That the days are now getting longer, okay? So there wasn't as much darkness today as there was yesterday. Yesterday was the shortest day of the year, and in Chippenham, there were 7 hours and 50 minutes between sunrise and sunset. It wasn't very long, was it? Well, the good news is today you had one more minute, okay? So you had an extra minute today. And it's this time of year that it seems very dark all around. The nights are long and the days are short, but it's this time of year that we put lights all over the houses, and perhaps there's some lights on your house or in your house, and it brightens up these dark nights. And certainly the children love it, don't they, as they go around the town and they see all the lights that are on the houses, and they enjoy looking at all the decoration. I can remember as a child touring around the town where I grew up. We always used to do it at Christmas. We'd tour around the town looking for the houses with the best lights, and we knew the streets to go to, and we used to enjoy seeing all the lights. See, we don't do it in summer. We do it at this time of year where there's long, dark nights, and the light brightens them up. The light shines in these dark nights. And light, of course, shines brightest where there is great darkness. And in the passage that Sharon just read for us, written 700 years before Jesus was born, we saw Israel, the nation, they were in great darkness. This was Israel, God's people. God had blessed them. God had revealed himself to them. He'd said that this is who I am. This is how you're to live. And Israel were in great darkness. They could look back at times where they had seen great blessing and God providing for them, but now times were dark. Because as they looked around in Isaiah's day, all of the world's superpowers were surrounding them, ready to invade, ready to take them captive, ready for war. And the outlook was bleak back in Isaiah's day. Throughout the Bible, God had said that Israel was meant to be a light for the nations. God had revealed himself to them, and they were to show something of the greatness of God to the nations around. And others would see, and others would be blessed by God as they worshipped him too. But the nation had rejected God, and the people in that nation had rejected God, and they were now facing judgment. And so God had raised up others to go to war and to take over. It was a dark time for Israel. And perhaps as we consider sort of this theme of darkness and light, perhaps you look at your own life sometimes, and I look at my own life sometimes, and it feels so dark and gloomy. everything seems bleak and nothing just seems quite as it should be. And perhaps we're tempted with Eeyore to say, well, it could be worse. I'm not sure how, but it could be. And we look at our circumstances and we think, well, we're desperate just for a bit of light to come into our lives. And perhaps in the last year, you've experienced grief. And that's brought some sadness and some darkness in life. Or a relationship breakdown. Or depression. Or job loss. Or you look at the world around and you just think and you see all the sad news and you wonder, when will the pain end in this world? Or perhaps it's just the monotony of life. And you get up and you go to work and you get home and you go to sleep and then just to do the same again the next day. And you think, is this all there is to life? It seems so dull and gloomy as you get up day by day. And life can sometimes just seem dark and bleak. And perhaps when we're really getting serious, we might look at our own lives and realize that we don't always get things right and we cause darkness and pain and sadness for others. Our wrong, our sin causes others so much pain. Well, it's in this situation where the true Christmas story meets us. It's in our darkness, in our sadness, when the outlook is bleak. The Christmas story of Jesus coming to earth gives us hope. And it gives us something to look forward to in the future. We can have light. And why is that the case? Well, God has done something about our world, our dark world, which we feel the pain of so often day by day. You see, here Isaiah was looking forward to a time that even though things were dark, he looked forward to a time where all the oppressors of Israel were defeated. They were gone. All the darkness was gone. He looked forward to a time where there would be hope and there would be joy. And why was this the case? See, Isaiah looked forward to a time where a son would be born, a child would be born. God did something about the darkness that the people of Israel were facing. He looked forward to a day where God would a child would be born and God would come and work in the land. And this child would be a ruler and he'd rule wisely and well. He'd rule mightily. He'd bring peace in the land. There'd be no end to his reign. He'd be just and he'd be fair. And God would certainly bring this about. And there would be hope for those who were in darkness. There'd be no more judgment for their rebellion against God. But there'd be hope and light. And so at Christmas time, and today particularly, there is hope. And the Christmas message is that there is hope in all the darkness of the world. There is hope and there is light because the Lord Jesus came.
This reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26 to 38. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her.
Next meeting, we're going to continue with Luke's account, Luke chapter 2, as we read the record of his record of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
We saw earlier that Isaiah described God acting in this world, and he would send someone who would bring light to our darkness, someone who would bring hope into this world. And fast forward hundreds of years, and we come to this account that John wrote. John was an eyewitness of the life of Jesus. He was one of Jesus' closest followers. He saw Jesus day by day and the things that he did. And John, as he writes his account of Jesus' life, he picks up on this theme of darkness and light. And so at the start of his account of Jesus' life, he describes someone who he calls the Word. And he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This person who he calls the Word is God. And from eternity past, he has been God. He is the one whom John describes. He's the one who brought light into being. He is the one through whom everything was made and created, and he brings forth light into being. He is the creator of this universe, and he is the one who gives light to humanity. And who is it that John is referring to as he opens his account describing this person called the Word? Who is it who could do such a thing? Who is it that spoke and light came into being? Well, John is speaking of Jesus. Much later in the passage that Sandrina read for us, it says that he was speaking of Jesus. Grace and truth came through Jesus. Jesus was the light of the world. And as John sees Jesus, and as John lived with Jesus and was close to Jesus and a follower of Jesus, he sees Jesus for who he is. And he realizes that Jesus is the one that Isaiah was talking about hundreds of years before, who would come and bring light to our dark world. He is the one that gives light to everyone in the world. And yet, as John sees Jesus, he sees the one who comes and who brings light, and he brings light to our darkness. He sees Jesus, the one who was rejected by so many people. Even though Jesus is the one who made this world, Jesus is the one who is God and has always been God. He sees that Jesus was the one who was rejected by so many people. And so many people in the world in John's day rejected the Lord Jesus. They didn't recognize him for who he was. And still today, people still do not understand and do not recognize who Jesus is. As Jesus came to his own people, as he came to Israel, the country to whom Isaiah said, "Look, light is going to come," as he comes to his own, his own reject him. His own people did not receive him. And Jesus, as he went through life, despite everything that he did, he gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. He fed thousands of people. He gave light into people's lives. Despite all that he did, people in Jesus' day still questioned who Jesus was and still rejected him. And the tragedy is that today, still, so many of us, even though we have all of it written down, we have the accounts of Jesus' life written down, we do the same today. We wonder, well, who is Jesus? Who is he really? We don't understand who Jesus is. And so John is writing this account that we might understand who Jesus is. We read that the Word, this person that John is describing, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this person? Who is Jesus that John is describing? Well, he is God himself. He is God the Son, and he is glorious. As we look at Jesus, we see the glory of God. And yet, God the Son humbles himself to take on flesh. humbles himself to take on a human body. And this is what the Christmas story is all about, that God did not leave us in our darkness, but he came down and he stepped into our world and he humbled himself to take on flesh. And as we look at Jesus, we see God himself. And as we read about Jesus in the Bible, we are reading about God himself. And as you come to understand what Jesus is like, you come to understand what God is like, because Jesus is God who took on flesh. And he is the one who brings light into a dark world. He is the one who John describes as full of grace and truth. He is the one that can bring light to our minds, to our understanding, who teaches us what is true and what is right, because he is the truth. He is the one who can bring light into our souls, because he provides grace, undeserved kindness. He's the one that can forgive all our sin and all our wrong, all the times where we reject God and live as if God didn't exist. He is the one that can free us from all that guilt and all that shame. And yet so many in Jesus' day, despite everything that he did and despite all he did to prove that he was God, so many rejected Jesus. They would not accept him as the Son of God. They would not accept him for who he was. And so many today reject, ignore, don't understand who Jesus is, and would rather live life without him. And yet John says that those who do accept the Lord Jesus, who do realize that Jesus is God the Son who's taken on flesh, he's come to deal with all our darkness, with all our sin, for those who do accept him, what does Jesus do for us? To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. For those who are willing to accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, the one who came into this world for them, Jesus gives them the right to become children of God, to have God, the all-powerful Creator, as your loving Heavenly Father who cares for you when life is dark and when life is going well. He is the Heavenly Father who cares, who is with you all through life. That's why Jesus came, to turn our darkness into light. The people of Israel, they walked in great darkness, but light has come as Jesus enters the world and takes on flesh.
This reading is from John 3, verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God.
Well, Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, said that someone would come and light would shine in a dark land. And John, as we saw, picks up on this theme and says that Jesus has come and he is the one who gives light. But it might lead us to question, well, what did Jesus do to bring light to this world? And how does he bring light into our darkness, into our struggles, into our pain, into our difficulties? How does Jesus give us hope and light for today? And we saw in the passage that Joanna just read for us that God has loved this world. He loved the people. He does love the people who are in this world. And even though we naturally are in darkness, because you and I reject God, and we say, I don't want God to rule over my life, I want to live my own way, I don't want to go the way that God wants me to go. Even though we reject God in our darkness, God has loved us too much to leave us in that state. And God did something about our darkness, the darkness of our sin and our wrong. God did loved us so much that he did something about our darkness. And we saw what God did as he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. Even as we reject him, he has loved us. And he loved us by sending his son, the Lord Jesus, to take on flesh and to come and be the answer to our problems. He took on flesh that we might have light and that we might have life. And God sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to save this world that is in darkness. We read that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, by nature, we are condemned because we have rejected God and we have rebelled against God, and we are due to be punished by God for all the wrong things that we've done. But God did not want to leave us in that state, and so he sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross, to take on flesh and to die for us. He sent his son into this world to save a world in darkness. And God sent his son, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, God sent him into this world not just to live and to do good in this world and to teach about God, but he sent his son into the world to die on the cross. And how does Jesus bring light into our dark world? Well, it's as he dies on the cross, that's how he brings light into our world. That is the reason why Jesus came. That's what his name means, the Lord saves. And he would save us by dying on the cross. Because as he died on the cross, he makes a way for us that we might live. He makes a way for us that we might have light in our darkness. As Jesus dies on the cross, he makes a way for us that we might live for eternity, eternal life, and not the life that we know here on earth that is so marked by pain and sadness, but a life of joy and unending happiness with him forever. As Jesus dies on the cross, he makes a way for us that we might have life without darkness, without sadness, without shame, without guilt. Because as God sends Jesus into the world, he sent him to die on the cross that he might take the punishment that we deserve, the condemnation that we deserve for our wrong and our sin. Jesus takes it on himself on the cross. He died the death that we deserve for rejecting God. He died the death that we deserve for all the times we say, I don't want God to be king in my life. I'm going to live my own way. For all the times where we live as if God didn't exist, Jesus came into the world to die for us there. And any, we read, who believe in him will have eternal life. Any who trust that Jesus has come and died for them will have life forever as it was meant to be. And we see that any who trust in the Lord Jesus are saved. They're not judged for their rebellion against God, but they're saved. And yet John tells us of the flip side of this. Any who trust in Jesus are saved. But whoever does not believe in Jesus is condemned and is judged. That's our natural state anyway. And if we do not believe in Jesus, we are condemned. We are due to be condemned and judged by God. But Jesus has come that we might not face that, that he was willing to take that for us. And yet John tells us this, and I don't know if you picked it up as it was read, as he looks at the world and he looks at Jesus who's come into the world, and he says this, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Jesus has come. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And see, here's the problem. As Jesus comes, he comes to bring us light and life. He offers eternal life for anyone who will trust him. And yet we prefer the darkness. We prefer to stay as we are. We prefer not to come to Jesus and be saved. You see, it's hard to come to Jesus. It's difficult to come to him and trust him. Because if you come to Jesus, if you come to the Lord Jesus and say, please save me, it means admitting that you need help. Admitting that you can't save yourself, you're not as good as you think you are, and admitting that we need Jesus to help us. It means admitting that we've done wrong and that we need saving. And so many in John's day rejected Jesus because they'd rather not be exposed and admit that they needed saving than to humble themselves and come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. I don't know if you've ever been shopping for white paint. Perhaps you've got a project on at home and you think, I want to paint the wall white. And as you go to the DIY store, who knew you could get so many different white paints? And you go there and you think, I just came for white paint and I've got all this choice in front of me. And you think, well, which one should I get for my wall that I want to paint white? But then as you start to look closely at these white paints in the shop, you start to realize that actually they're not quite as white as we first thought. Because you get the pot of pure brilliant white that really is white, and you start comparing some of these other colors that on their own they look white. But you start comparing some of these other, I don't know if you can even have shades of white, but you have. You start comparing the pure brilliant white to the shades of white. And you realize actually that some are yellowy color, some are a bit gray, some are a bit blue, and they're not quite as white as you originally thought. And you've got all this choice in front of you. Which kind of whites do I want for my wall? You see, the closer you get to the paints, the more you realize, you see, actually they're not all pure white. Why don't people come to the Lord Jesus? You see, the closer you come to Jesus, the more you realize that you're not quite as good as you thought you were. And so we stay away and we don't come. And rather than come to Jesus, the one who can give us life and light, we'd rather say, well, I look fine. When I'm stood next to all these other people, those who abuse others, those who are violent, those who carry out injustices, those who are involved in big cover-ups, I'll stay there next to them because next to them I look okay. But if I come to Jesus, he might expose me for what I really am. I'm not quite as good as I first thought. Because as you come to Jesus, you realize that he is perfection and we are not. We fall far short. And perhaps there might be some people here tonight and you're fearful of coming to Jesus because you know that if you get too close to Jesus, you think my life's got to change. He'll expose some of the wrong and the hypocrisy of my own heart and I'll have to change. And I don't want my life to change and so I won't get too close to Jesus. I'll be exposed as I come close to him. I won't match up. But as you do come to Jesus, yes, it is hard to trust him because it does mean admitting that we've done wrong. But as you come, you find grace from the Lord Jesus, undeserved favor from God. As you come to Jesus, you find that he loves you and he loved you enough to die on the cross for you. That's why he came into the world. You find grace to forgive all of your sin, grace to make you right with God, at peace with God. And so this Christmas, rather than keeping God at a distance and keeping the Lord Jesus at a distance, come to the Lord Jesus. As hard as it can be to admit that we've done wrong, come to him for light and life and trust him. And as you come to him and trust him, and say sorry for your wrong, you will know all of your guilt gone because it's forgiven. Jesus has paid for it on the cross. All of your shame has gone because Jesus has dealt with it. All past regret is gone because Jesus has dealt with it. You've been forgiven by God. Jesus has loved you enough that he might willingly go to the cross and die for you. And any who accept and trust in the Lord Jesus, who willingly submit to him and say, I want him to be Lord of my life, becomes a child of God and knows God as their heavenly Father, knows the smile of God on their lives. And so this evening, don't leave it. If you've not come to the Lord Jesus, if you've not come to him and asked him to forgive you, don't leave it. Come to him and find grace and forgiveness. The one who has died for you and has loved you enough that he was willing to do that, even as we rejected him. If you've not come to the Lord Jesus, why not take a moment to pray in the quietness of your own heart? Thank God for sending Jesus and cry out to God that he would save you.